That's the way that in Paraguay, during the time when you shake hands and you greet people, that the brothers and sisters in Christ in the church in Paraguay meet each other. And I have to honestly tell you that I was going to start this testimony off with what a blessing that was. I know that when the couple of groups that came back and commented on how the men hug each other and just the affection and the fact that they're happy to see one another. Now, I don't speak Spanish, so I'm the person in the background that's just smiling and, you know, you just have no idea what anybody is saying and communication is a little bit difficult. But one of the first things the Lord taught me during this particular trip was there is a language that is universal. And it's that language that we speak from the Word of God. It's that spiritual language. And when a sister in Christ is coming over and giving me a big hug during the handshaking time and not talking about what she's doing that week or what she has to do next week or what they're doing after church, but during the worship service coming over and saying, Gloria a Dios, and wants to spiritually uplift and encourage my heart. You know what? I knew what she was saying. And we communicated. Even though we have no idea what the other person is saying, and she can smile and go on and on and on past that, I knew in my heart, communicated with her, and I was blessed. And by the time we picked up the songbook to sing the next song, I was ready to praise my Savior. I was ready to worship. And that's something. If I walk over to you during the handshaking and I just say bendiciones, it's just another way of saying blessings. It's just another way of letting you know that I'm glad you're here and I'm glad we're a family in Christ. And that was huge. The church in Paraguay, they blessed my heart. I mean, it's difficult to go to a place where you can't verbally communicate with people. Denise was an angel. I mean, and she did her best to help me along when they were having conversations, and I was kind of just, you know, the little foreigner standing there. But gives you a new appreciation for people that don't speak American. You know, it really does. But it was a blessing. And there's a couple of things that the Lord taught me. One, Kevin is not so scary. I just want to go on record as saying. I enjoyed our fellowship, and I'll tell you what, sometimes in a mission trip when you're in a foxhole together, and not that this is anything under fire, but you know what, you're praying together. And I'm praying for him as he spoke, and I'm praying for my sister as she spoke, and it was sweet, and the fellowship was sweet. And I praise the Lord for the opportunity to have gotten to know my sister and brother a little bit better. But there is a couple of things that the Lord taught me this trip, aside from just the sweet fellowship of one another. Mike and Marcy Wilps, they are a sweet couple. But you know what they are? They're a husband and wife. They have children. They have to do laundry, food shopping, homeschooling. They have all of the same problems and things that clutter our time frame and all of the things that we deal with here. But you know what? They're on a foreign field. And what the Lord convicted me of even more so is that our missionaries need for us to pray for them. You know, they answered the call to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But I get to go with them when I pray for them on my knees. And they need for us to cover them. They need for us to cover their home, their marriage. They need for us to cover their children, that the devil doesn't get them from behind the scenes. They need for us to pray for them, for their ministries there, and for our brothers and sisters overseas. And I was very, very burdened to just pray for my brother and sister in Christ and to hold them up. And just that my part here in America that I can do for them is to pray for them and to hold them up and to make sure that, you know what, I mean, my sister, Marcy, her mom has cancer and she lives in Florida. And what the Lord just impressed upon my heart is, you know what, she can't be there. She can't be there with her mom to go to the doctors and she can't be there to, like, encourage her other than a phone call. And you know what, that's the way the devil can discourage my sister. Because there she is on a foreign field, and who's over here ministering to her mom? We need to pray for our missionaries. We need to know their names. We have 7 of them, and we need to pray for them. We need to make sure that over here we cover them. And I can do that. I can go, when I stand before God, I can have gone overseas by praying for them on my knees. But there was another thing. This is a different kind of a mission trip for me. And I learned a couple of very, very important truths that I know the Lord, I guess he had to take me over to a foreign field to show me. But while trying to put my thoughts together to figure out, and I had even spoken to a couple of ladies here about, I don't know, how do you go over to another culture and preach to them or teach the ladies about how to be a wife? And I don't know what difficulties they face, and I don't know what trials they go through, and what are some of the problems they as husband and wives face? And I struggled. I really did. I struggled. I had been praying about what the Lord would have me to say for like a month before we went, and I thought I had it all under control and all put together until I got there. And then it was like writer's block, and I had nothing to say, and I got to sit out in this little tropical, we suffered for Christ, by the way. There was a nice pool, and the weather was nice, and we sat in this little tropical garden. But I sat alone with my Bible, and I got alone with the Lord. And it was the Sunday before the Tuesday that we were supposed to speak. And Psalms 12, verses 6 and 7 was my answer on what the Lord would have me to say. It says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. You know what I learned? That God's word is international. There is not a Bible for America. There is not a Bible for the Philippines. And there's not the words of God for Paraguay. But you know what God wanted the wives over there to know? The same thing that he wanted me to know over here. And everything that we need is in this book. Everything for every trial, every problem, every heartache, for every spiritual need. I'm going to find my answers in my Bible. And you know what the Lord did? I fell in love with my Bible all over again. And that was cool. I mean, there's nothing like looking at God's Word and just loving your Savior more, because the words in it are specifically not just for me, but when you look past your toes, they were for every woman sitting in that audience. Every heartache that those women were facing, God's Word had the answer. And that was awesome. There was nothing I had to say. I just need to open up my Bible and see what God had to say and just be the person to stand there that God allowed. Constantino had said once before, when God gave him the opportunity to witness to a lady in the nursing home, that he realized that, you know, the miracles that happen, that God, you know, when you get to share the gospel with somebody or lead somebody to the Lord, that's just God kind of being kind, that he lets you be a witness, you know, to watch him work. And that's all that God did in Paraguay, was he just let me be a spectator to watch him do in the hearts of those people what they needed to have done, what they had already been praying about, what Mike and Marcy had already been praying about, and we just got to be a spectator, and that's an amazing thing. But then there was the second thing that God showed me, which was, I guess, something I needed to learn too and just be reminded of. But God showed me the importance of being still and remembering and knowing that he's God. You know, I have my quiet time here at home, and I know we probably, you know, if you're in your Bible, you have your specific place and your specific seat, and you're in whatever devotional you're reading, and I read my Bible. But you know what, in the back of my mind, even when I've told my husband, if we sit in the kitchen and read, I mean, I'm looking at the dishes and what I got to make for dinner, and even though I'm reading my Bible, I'm not really paying attention. I'm not quiet, because my head is going a mile a minute, and the things of the day and what I have to do and who needs to go where. And I'm never quiet, really quiet inside to hear what the Spirit of God has to say to me. And sometimes it's just the words in the book. But Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. And God taught me some things while I was there. I had several hours during the day, which I don't get at home, but several hours from like right after breakfast until like 2:30 in the afternoon to just be in my Bible. No phones, no laundry, no food shopping, no interruptions. And it was just me and God. And in not just sweet fellowship, but God yelled at me. You know, it was one of those that God just wanted to like teach me something. And what he taught me was the lesson I needed to learn, but that there are some things that God's trying to teach us, that God may be trying to teach you, and you need to be quiet to hear it. I mean, I've been saved a long time, and this is a lesson I probably should have gotten or heard, and I'm sure the Lord has been trying to tell me in so many words, but I just needed to be quiet. And when there was no clutter, and it was just me and God, all of a sudden the lights came on. All of a sudden it was like, wow, that's what you were trying to say. And you know what? God wants me to be alone so that I can hear him. And what he showed me was Revelation chapter 3, verse 22, ye that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I have an ear. Why didn't I hear before? Because I wasn't listening. And I don't know if the Spirit of God may be trying to teach you, but it's an amazing thing to have God actually teach you specifically something that blesses your heart and brings you closer to Him. And it was Paraguay that God needed to do that on. And I'm blessed. And I just wanted to thank you for praying. Anybody who prayed for us, because we got there safe, and I don't take that for granted. I mean, that was a long flight, and we got home safe. My family was safe, and I thank you for praying, because I know that was the prayer of God's people. So, thank you.
This is my first mission trip. So I was the newbie of the group. I didn't really know what to expect. I knew a little bit about Paraguay from Kevin and the boys having been there. So I knew a little bit about what to expect, and they have assured me that that is not a third world country. But not having been to a third world country, I don't really know what to compare it to. But I have to tell you, it's not America. It's not the standards that we're used to. But like Margaret said, we suffered for the Lord. We had tropical palm trees, and that was the hotel, but that was not everywhere. So, but anyway, when I think of Paraguay, I think of the verse, John 13:35, and you don't have to go there, but it says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." And if there's one thing that permeated the whole trip, it was just this sense of just love and just the sincerity and this feeling of a genuine happiness to know you, that you're there. You just felt so welcome. I had never met Marcy or Mike Bulbs, but I had heard so much about them from the kids and from Kevin, and I felt like I knew them. And I'd been speaking to Marcy on and off and Delilah through Facebook, so I kind of, you know, I felt like I knew them. But as soon as we got there and they picked us up at the airport, I felt like I was seeing my family. I felt that comfortable. I felt like I know them. And they make you feel that way. The love is just so authentic, and it's just so from the corazón, from the heart. And when you get to the church, it's the same. It's just you know them by the love they have one for another. You see the love that they have one for another, and they share that. They shared that generously with us. It felt like you were. I had a new family in Paraguay. That was just, and it almost made me think of, it did make me think of what heaven was going to be like, because, you know, essentially these people were strangers to me, but they didn't feel like strangers. Because of the love of Christ that we all shared, it was family. And I said, that's how heaven's going to be. It's going to be a place of strangers, essentially, but we're not going to feel like they're strangers. They're going to feel like our family because they are. And Margaret said something about bendiciones, you know, that's like our greeting that we do. And I swear they did that two or three times a service. Didn't it feel that way? It felt like every, like, 10 minutes, it was like everybody stood, and then before you knew, and Margaret would look over at me, you know, and I'd go, they're greeting again. And then the whole group would come around, and we're in the front, and they'd all come to us. And I've never been hugged and kissed so much in those 4 days. It was incredible. But as I think about that, I also think of the faces of all the people, especially the women. You know, I can think of, you know, Mercedes, and I can think of Maria, and I can think of Iris, and all these names and faces come to my mind because I feel like we just bonded in a really special way. A little bit about the services. The church has got to be half this size, right? I mean, I'm very bad with space, but the church is probably half this size, and Sunday morning service was full, and there were actually people sitting around the perimeter on benches. And I would dare say that even the following conference evenings, it was at least three quarters full. And what's impressive is that a lot of these people don't drive. They come by bus, or everyone drives these little motorcycles, or they get, you know, they walk. So even at one point, Mike Wilps had said, you know, pray for good weather, because if it rains, people might not show up because they just, you know, would be too difficult. But the blessing to that was on the last day of the conference, it rained. It rained all day long, on and off, and sometimes really heavy. And the blessing was that Mike shared with us that he got a call or a text from somebody saying, please don't cancel the service because we want to be there. You know, we don't want you to cancel it. And it was a blessing. I think it was full, right? People came late and you know, and because the thing is that when it rains, it can flood everything, and you just can't. It's not passable. But it was a blessing, and it was full, and that was the last service, and anyone that's been to the marriage conference knows what the last service was like, and it was a blessing. I won't even get into it, but it was a real blessing. Anyone who was at the marriage conference, it was like a pin could drop, and that's it, right? Anyone that was there? It wasn't like that in Paraguay. In Paraguay, it was amen, it was white handkerchiefs, and everybody was excited, and I don't know what that means. I'm not going to read into it, but it was a blessing. It was really good. The other thing I wanted to just mention is we had the opportunity, Margaret and I, to attend a baby shower for Nelson's wife, and Nelson is the translator. He actually pastors a work 5 hours away in Pilar, but he came with his wife, and he actually brought a family also from that church, and like I said, it's a five-hour ride, and he came and he stayed for the whole conference. Since his wife was going to be there, they had a baby shower for her, and we were able to attend. It was humbling. We had an opportunity, Margaret and I and Marcy and the family, to go to a mall because we wanted to buy a gift for the shower. And, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking of an American shower, right? So any of you who have ever been to a baby shower, you know what it looks like, right? I mean, there's probably a section that big of gifts, one bigger than the other, boxes on top of boxes and everything you could possibly think of. So, you know, I want it to be a blessing, and we're in the mall, and I'm thinking maybe a swing or a bassinet or, you know, I want it to be a blessing. Turns out we didn't buy any of those things because they were very expensive and the quality is not good at all. And Marcy just suggested to us very, you know, in a good way, don't buy anything. Just if you want to bless them, give them something and let them decide what they want to do with it. So that's what we did. I'm so happy that that's what we did, because when we got to the shower, like I said, it was humbling. There was a table with a cake, and in a section probably not bigger than this were the gifts. Little bags, little wrapped gifts. She got onesies and blankets and beautiful things. I mean, really nice things, but by our standards, you would be like, wow, you know. And she was so grateful and so thankful. And I am so glad we didn't come with one of these big boxes, because I would have really felt typical American, you know, got to do it big, overshadowing other, you know, I would have felt terrible. So it all, glory to God, it worked out. But it was a blessing, and we learned some games for our next baby shower, which were kind of cool. But that was really, it was a great time of fellowship for the ladies. We got a chance to get to know the ladies a little better. It was really good. I think we really bonded with a lot of the women there in Paraguay. It was hard to say goodbye. That last day was really a lot of tears, a lot of thank you so much, thank you, so appreciative. It was, the faces still come to my mind. It was a blessing. I'm touch a little bit about, again, like what Margaret was saying. One big thing that I came away with was just an appreciation for the sacrifice that our missionaries, any missionary makes, but, you know, on a personal level, Mike and Marcy. Just getting a chance to talk to them and finding out a little bit about, you know, how they ended up coming to Paraguay and all of that. They left, you know, Mike Wolfs was saying he had a good job, they were doing well. They were actually in the middle of constructing a brand new house on the water, on the bay in Florida, and they left it. You know, picking out your cabinets and picking out all that stuff, and then you just walk away, and they went to Paraguay. And they get to Paraguay, and the house they have has no hot water, no heat, you know, and you look and you go, you can appreciate, they left the comforts of America, of our lifestyle, to go somewhere they'd never been and to live in standards like poverty, you know, what we would think of in this country would be poverty. No hot water, no... Marcy tells a story about how in the winter, and it does get kind of cold there, washing dishes in just frigid cold water. That's because that's all they had. And opening, putting the oven on and just sitting in front of the oven just to get warm, you know. And that's real. I mean, I don't know if you can appreciate that. They didn't have to do that. Their plans and were going in a whole other direction, and because Mike felt called and led, they left it all and they came. And but more than just the material aspect of that was, like Margaret had said, I mean, Marcy's mom had cancer. She was going through chemo and all of these things, and Marcy couldn't be there for her. And Marcy talks about her brother, who's her only sibling, getting married, and she wasn't there for the wedding. And so they're not just leaving material things. That's nothing. But they're not there when things are going on with the family. And you know, we know how important is our family. You know, babies are born, people die, people get married. I mean, things go on in our family, and they're missing all of it. They're not there for any of it. And so, you know, it could be a very lonely place for missionaries. I'm thinking of them, but any missionary. And they just, more than just admiration, I mean, it's of the Lord. And we have to just keep praying for them. And it's easy for us to forget. You know, they just become a name or a postcard in your Bible or something. But they're real people who are just like you and me, but they put feet to their faith and they went. They did it, you know, and it was really, really convicting, because I just think about how much we have. I have so much, and not just materially, just spiritually. I mean, we sit in this church, service after service after service after service, and we are fed filet mignon every service. We have so much. We just keep taking it. And you know, I was thinking about it today, and I felt like we're like spiritual gluttons. We just sit and we get fed, and we just take and we take and we take. But is that what we're supposed to do? We're just supposed to sit here and just keep feeding ourselves. You know, and then you think of someone like Mike, who's out there in Paraguay, who's, I think, got 4 or 5 churches going, or, you know, 4, and he's doing it by himself. He's feeding all of those people all by himself. I mean, Nelson has taken the church in Pilar, but as far as everybody, you know, all the other works, it's him. He's the one doing all the feeding, and it just convicted me, and I said, here we are. They have a room of people with all this spiritual knowledge and all of this spiritual, you know, and we're just sitting here just enjoying it contently and taking some more. And we have more than we can use, you know, and it's just, it was convicting. That was really convicting to me, and just praying a lot about that. And I just want to provoke you all to just, if you can go to a mission field, go. You know, you hear that all the time, and I've heard it so often, and I've always wanted to go. Just, you know, didn't have the opportunity. I'm thankful for this one. But you just will never see things the same way. I actually had to pray. I think I even said it to Margaret at one point. I said I have to pray against coming back and despising what I have. I didn't want to come back and despise what I had, and that's how I was feeling. Quite often during the trip. You know, you see how people live with, you know, the basics, and we have so much in so many areas, and it's just, I felt like I don't want to come home and say, I hate this. I hate my house. I hate my car. I mean, I didn't want to come home with that, you know what I'm saying? So I had to pray against that, and, it's a blessing. The Lord blesses, and I don't want to despise the blessings of the Lord, but with the blessings come responsibilities.
Amen.
And so I guess, you know, just praying about it. And so thank you.
Good evening. She sounded a little crazy, like she's ready to go somewhere. I don't know. What do you think? Praise God. Gloria a Dios. That's glory to God in Spanish. You guys are too quiet. You know, you ever hear the joke about the Baptists? They say when you get to heaven, the first thing you're going to see is Baptists. You know why? Because it says the dead in Christ rise first. Boy, it's quiet in here. I know we took the name Baptist off the church a long time ago. But I tell you what, if you were in Paraguay right now, the roof would be rocking. It's a tin roof, but it would be rocking. They love to worship their Savior in Paraguay. You know, it's a blessing. You know, during the worship service, there's no one in the corner talking about their weekly events. There's no bochinche, gossip going on. People are worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no conversation. There's no idle chit-chat. And for the most part, people are in the service on time when it starts. Again, that handicapped man who travels, what, 6 hours, brother? He was there on time. You know, listen, people, I'm not militant. You know, we're all going to be accountable to God for each one of our own reasons, behaviors, whatever. But you know what? Come on, man. I mean, coming to church on time. Wow, that's like basic 101, no? I mean, I don't know. I mean, we are spoiled as Americans. Amen? It was great to go back. I was there with Mark, Pastor, the Woods. I miss the Woods, man. Where are my boys? Where are they? Are they here tonight? Where Alan and Michael? There they go. Boy, you were missed, man. I can't tell you how many people asked for Alan and Michael, you know? I mean, we had a great time when we were there last summer, which is their winter, actually. And they're just great people, man. They love the Lord, and they love you. You feel welcome when you get there. When we were there the first time, literally the whole church greeted us at the airport. I mean, it was amazing, you know, and it's just genuine. It's sincere. It's just the genuine. And we're too sophisticated here in New York, you know. We're like real, you know, shake hands, you know. But they just, man, have no problem, you know, getting you and grabbing you and telling you they love you, you know. And it's like Denise read that verse, you know, that's how we're supposed to differentiate ourselves. That's how the world knows that what we have is different because of the love that we have one for another, you know. That's what separates us from religion, right? And it's infectious. And, you know, it's a miracle because Mike has been there about 7 years now. And to see the building and the people worshiping there, just think about it. If Brother Mike was not obedient to the call of God, that wouldn't be there.
Right.
You know, listen, God could have raised somebody else up. I understand that. But you know what? God spoke to Mike Wilps, and Mike Wilps said, Lord, I'll go. And he went, and he hit the ground running, and he's still hitting the ground running. And he's got a vision for expansion for churches here. But you know what? He's only one man. Like was said, he's one man. And so, we're praying, you know. I don't know. I mean, you know what? I really believe we're living in the end times. And I'm going to stand before my maker one day. And I'm a blessed man materially. I make a lot of money. I live in a nice house. And I pay bills. But I don't think life is about paying bills. And you know what? If you knew, let's be honest tonight. If you knew the time, the date, the hour, exactly that Jesus was going to return? Would it change the way you're living right now? And I have to confess it would. It changed the way I'm living. So I say to myself, if that's true, why aren't you living that way anyway? That's just me, you know? I love this church. This is the only church that I know. I don't know any other church. I was raised as a Roman Catholic, but as far as the truth is concerned, this is the only place that I have learned and grown up in the truth, is in this church. And you know what I love about this church? The Word of God is always honored. It's always preached. You know, did you realize that you were preached to and singing two hymns tonight? You were preached to. We didn't even have to open up the Word. Look, wonderful words of life, right? I mean, you just read those words and you were preached to. Jesus, only Savior, sanctified forever. Jesus, only Savior. Amen? I mean, and what else did we read? 450, we say. I mean, just read the words. If you just listen to the words of the hymns, man, you're going to get saved. Right? Love beyond our human comprehending. Love of God in Christ. How can it be? How can it be? I can't comprehend the thing. I really can't. But He loves me. And it's an amazing thing. I think the greatest thing about going outside of the United States is to getting out of your comfort zone, leaving the things that are familiar. You know, you hear the saying, familiarity breeds contempt. And that's so true. We take for granted the things that are so familiar to us. I know I do, you know. But as I get older, physically and spiritually, I'm appreciating the miracles of just a day. You know what a miracle, and you know how many miracles you experience in the span of 24 hours a day? It is amazing. I drive to work every day for the last 20 plus years. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. You know that every day that I get in my car and I get home is a miracle to me. It's a miracle. I just heard of this family, seven people plunged in the Bronx, died in an instant. On the Garden State Parkway, I think over this last summer, some immigrant woman was driving to visit her parents, and in a spare tire dislodged off of a vehicle, flew right through her windshield on a bright Saturday afternoon. She died in an instant. And you know, for 20 plus years, this man has been getting behind the wheel of a car, going to work and coming home intact every day. That's a miracle to me. You know what's a miracle to me? It's a miracle to me that at 5:30, this device in my bedroom called an alarm clock goes off, and I have ears that can hear the sound. And I have ears that can see the time. And I have a bed that I can lay this weary body down when it's tired. And I have feet that I can throw over the side of the bed and put on the floor. And I have a bathroom that's just a few steps away that I can turn a knob where hot water comes out. Those are miracles to me. I'm standing here and I'm breathing God's air right now. That's a miracle to me. You know what? That's where God lives, in the everyday miraculous parts of life. Do you realize what's going on inside your body right now? How much blood is flowing and how it's flowing? It's a miracle that we even have our being. You know what? That's where God meets with us. That's where you see how great God is, in that still, small voice. He's not in the earthquake. He's not in the wind. He's in those little, mundane, familiar aspects of our life. But you know what? We take them for granted, because you know why? You don't miss your health until you don't have your health, right? Because it seems like it's a constant. And that's the greatest thing about leaving your comfort zone. You know, when you go and you leave the United States, you realize that the way we live here is truly Disney World. It's fantasy land. It's not reality. It really isn't. And yes, I will say Paraguay is far from third world, although there are places in Paraguay that are third world. But let's be honest. Sadly enough, there's places in America tonight that are third world. Isn't that a travesty, right? But you know what? They're just the people, you know, God is not bound by geography. And they love Jesus. The same Jesus that purchased their soul is the same Jesus that purchased my soul. Amen? And it's just infectious and it's beautiful. And I just want to, you know, it just makes you appreciate what you have. You know, the people that we should love the most, the people that should be the beneficiaries of our fruitful walk with God. What is the fruit? We know it. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, right? The people that should experience that the most in our lives are the people that are closest to us, no? Our wives, our children, right? Husbands. And you know, sometimes they get treated the least courteously. We have more kindness and patience sometimes for a brother in Christ than we do our own child, our own husband, our own wife. Why is it? You know why? Because you don't live with your brother in Christ, right? You see your wife every day, your children every day, right? And they're familiar. And you know, see, that's the thing we got to fight against. The familiarity, you know? God does not call me to worship my religion. I'm not to worship my doctrine. I'm not to worship, you know what? I'm to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we should worship. That's the bottom line. Not the routine, because, you know, we know the routine, you know? Not your dogma, not what you believe. Our worship should be of a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Psalms 23, a very familiar portion of God's Word. Is it not? You know, I spoke at the nursing home on Sunday. It was a blessing. As I was reading Psalms 23, there's an older gentleman there. I know him as the Alpha and the Omega. He's a blessing. Thomas, man. And he knew this psalm by heart. And so as I'm reading it, he's saying out loud. And we call him the Alpha and Omega because every time someone goes to preach it, he always raises his hand. He's polite, and he always wants to say he's the Alpha and the Omega. Amen? And referring to the Lord Jesus. And so as I'm reading the psalms, he's saying it out loud. And it was a blessing to my heart. That brother preached to me Sunday. I went to preach to the people, and I got preached to because he was reading Psalms 23. I'm reading it. They don't have Bibles. He's just saying it out loud as I'm reading it verse for verse. And it was a blessing. And in Psalms 23, and we all know Psalms. And this is kind of like a portion of God's word that's been adopted by religion, right? They read it at funerals, right? You know what? This is a Psalms for the living. It's not a Psalms for the dead. This is a Psalms for now, for life. And the psalmist says, David, in the first verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Right? I mean, we've heard that, right? But the Lord is my shepherd. You know, I think the three most profound words spoken in the Word of God are recorded, these are the three words. Lord, remember me. Brother Pat spoke on Sunday about occasions, defining moments. Can you think about the defining moment of a man on the cross that tells the Lord, Lord, remember me. That man's eternal destiny was changed. He was hell bound. But by faith, he said, Lord, remember me. And we know the response. What was the response? Today, thou shalt be with me. There was no hinkling and thinking about, you know, you really did some bad stuff. You know, let me take out the ledger. No, it was instantaneous. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Lord, remember me. And David says here, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, it takes faith to call him the Lord. Amen? It takes faith to say that God is your Lord. Amen? But you know what? Man, it's his faith. And David's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, that's just a beautiful portion of God's Word. You know, God's Word is powerful. I mean, look at, it says in Job chapter 6, verse 25. And that's what we're doing here tonight, folks. We're just reading God's Word. We really are. I mean, it's all about His Word. I grew up with religion. I grew up knowing about God. I knew about a shepherd, but he wasn't my shepherd. And you know what? When I cried out and asked him to save my soul and forgive me for the sinner that I was, he became my shepherd. Amen? And it became personal. And Job chapter 6 and verse 25 says, how forcible are right words. How forcible are right words. God's words have an impact. They're forcible words. You know, I love in John chapter 18, when the Lord and Judas was coming to betray the Lord, in John chapter 18, verse 6, and it says there, back it up, Jesus in verse 4, therefore knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? Right? Judas Verse 3, back up even further. Judas then, having received the band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons, right? We've just read verse 4, right? Jesus' response is, hey, whom seek ye? And verse 5, they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with him. Look at verse 6. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Wow. The word of God is powerful, folks. It will change your life if you allow it to. It will knock you off your physical feet. It will plant your feet on the right ground. Amen? The word of God. That's what we need to get excited about. Don't let this book get so familiar in your life that you get robbed of the blessing of what it is. It's your power. It's your sustenance. This is where you have those life-changing, altering moments in the Word of God. As you read it, it's reading you. It doesn't get more complicated than that. Amen? You need to hide it. You need to feast on it. It has to be your life. I love what the brother said, and I'll probably quote it wrong. I don't read the Bible because I want to all the time. I read it because I have to, and I do. I need to read this Bible every day. Amen? I mean, I do. And you excuse me, but you know what? I get excited about God. Yeah, I'm excitable. When I start talking about the Lord, I get excited. Hey, listen, I'm a passionate guy. I like sports. If I sit down and watch my Yankees play a good game, I get excited. I'm not going to lie. If I watch my Pittsburgh Steelers score a touchdown, I might jump up and down. My boys will attest to it. But you know what? When I speak about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I get excited. Because He's worth getting excited about. You know what? To me, the best thing to do is have a conversation with somebody about Jesus. And in that moment in time, I feel like, wow, this is why I live and breathe. In this moment, I pray when I'm speaking to people, Lord, come right now. Don't let me mess up tomorrow or the next minute. Come right now as I'm praising you and telling some soul about Jesus. I mean, that's what it's about, folks. We're just talking about Jesus tonight. Amen? And that's what I love about Brother Mike Wilkes. That's a man that's excited about Jesus. It's real. He loves the Lord. Amen? And it's infectious. I like being around people that love God. I really do. That's why I love my pastor. I mean, because he loves the Lord. And he lets that light shine. And that light, it's just provoking. Amen? That's why we gather. Amen? Look at Isaiah chapter 40. You know, Jesus in John chapter 10 called himself the Good Shepherd. And you know what? If I may say so tonight, that was a very, very humbling admission on his part, the Good Shepherd. Because remember, my shepherd is way more than just the Good Shepherd. He's an awesome shepherd. He's an amazing shepherd. I mean, he's amazing. He's awesome. Can I tell you? My God is an awesome God. Amen? Now, listen, I'm not as crazy as Brother Ryman. I understand about having a time. You ain't going to have to worry about I'm not bolting out the door. I'm not running down the block. But I understand what the brother says. I get excited. You know, we should get excited about the Lord. Amen? Why should we be so conservative? You want to belt out hallelujah, glory of yours, do it. You got something to shout about. Amen? Your cup running through. If you know the Lord Jesus, and amen, better than that, if he knows you tonight, if you've been sealed by the Spirit of promise, you got something to shout about. You got something to talk about tonight. Amen? Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. It says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Verse 12, I love it. Man, look at these verses here, because this is talking about the shepherd. This is talking about our God, all right? Who hath measured the waters in the hollows of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Verse 13, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? 14, with whom took he counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? Verse 15, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Verse 16, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn. You understand what that's saying there? The cedars of Lebanon, there's not enough trees there to offer up and start a campfire to put your sacrifices on, right? Nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. Amen? Look at 17. All nations before him are as nothing. Yes, America is included in that. All nations before him, they are as nothing. And they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity, right? To whom in 18, then, will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? And you know, it's sad that men actually make an attempt to make an image of what God is, who he is, right? Look at 19. The workman melted a graven image, and the goldsmith spread it over with gold and cast it silver change, right? 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Had it not been told you from the beginning? Had you not understood from the foundations of the earth? 22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. Listen, if there was any doubt, there should have never been doubt. The world is round. Amen? I don't know where these people got this flat nonsense. If they just read their Bible, they would have known. Amen? It wasn't a secret. Look at 25. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? 26. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things? That bringeth out their host by number. Amen. 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's my shepherd. Amen. He's a great God. He's an omniscient, omnipresent God. He's almighty God. Amen. He's amazing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I love that. I shall not want. That doesn't mean that you're going to have three cars in the garage. No. That's a spiritual state of contentment. Amen? When you can honestly say tonight, the Lord, yeah, he's my shepherd. You know what? You get to a place of spiritual contentment where, you know what? Even if you don't have a can of soup in the cupboard, you know what you can say? I shall not want. Amen? Because he's all I need. And that's what that's talking about there. Amen? You know, it's contrary for us as men to be led. We like to lead. You know, I spoke in Paraguay to the men about three aspects of being a husband. One of them is being a leader in your home. But you know what? As men, we don't have a right to lead our home if we're not willing to be led first ourselves. Because you know what? How can I direct my wife and children if I'm not willing to be led myself? Amen? You know, and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says, verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Amen. Paul could ask them to follow him because why? He was following the Lord. Amen. So we can't lead men, women, you can't lead your children unless you yourself bow to the good shepherd. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When you are being led by God's Spirit, then and only then do you have a right to even expect or ask to lead. Amen? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, it's Psalms 5:8 says, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness. Psalms 27:11 says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Psalms 43, verse 3 says, O send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me. Thy light and thy truth is right here. Let them lead me. And I love Psalms 139. I encourage you, if you don't know it, commit Psalms 139 to your memory. That is a great portion of God's Word. Psalms 139. Let's turn there real quick. You know, I'm so grateful to be saved tonight. You know, this man standing before you has tasted and has seen that the Lord is good. I don't deserve it, but, you know, he's a good God. Amen? God is a great God. Psalms 139, it says that in verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and what? And lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. We need to examine ourselves every day, folks, and see where we're at with God. Look at Lamentations chapter 3. Turn there real quick. Lamentations 3. I'm going to let the Word of God speak to you tonight. I don't want to give you my opinion or my belief. The Word, let the Word of God speak. Amen. It says in Lamentations 3:40, let us search and try our ways and turn again unto the Lord. You see, if we were honest with God tonight, our tendencies do not bring us towards God. That's why I need to read the Bible every day. Because you know what? Every day that I don't read my Bible, I'm headed on a course directly away from God. This read the verse. It says, let us search and try our ways and turn again unto the Lord. Look at Psalms 119. Psalms 119. It's just our natural tendencies, folks. It's nothing that you do or didn't do or think to do or forgot to do. But our natural tendency is away from God. Psalms 119 and verse 59. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Listen, we need to check ourselves in every day. Because your ways are not good ways. The Bible says there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of what? Death. So we need to always constantly check our course to see where we're going and do honest business with God. And you know what I love about God? Here's God's response. Look at Ezekiel chapter 33. This is what I love about God. No matter how far off course I may get, Ezekiel, the book right after Lamentations, and I'm saying that for my own benefit. Look at God's heart towards us. And this is talking to Israel, but you can plug yourself in. Look at verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? You know, the Bible says the Lord's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to us, where he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what? I'm so grateful that when I come from my wandering ways, that I don't have a God that takes the list out, that holds a grudge, that brings things back, that brings me back from 5 years. No, you know what? He's there. He's willing to just restore. Amen? And you know what? That teaches me I need to be that way. I need to leave my laundry list of past hurts. Just bury them away. Amen? I mean, that's just the way God is. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Amen? Familiar verses. Look at verse 2, Psalms 23, verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know that there's rest in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? There's rest. You know, too many Christians don't have rest. They don't have peace. Popping pills for anxiety. They're fearful. They're anxious. They're just, you know what? That's not the way it should be for a Christian. I think that's the greatest thing also about getting away. Our lifestyles are not conducive to being still, like the sister said. You don't think the enemy knows that? How many hours of a day are we running and gunning just to pay the mortgage, to pay the bills, right? And what are we giving God at the end of that day? We're exhausted physically. It shouldn't be that way. You know, that's the devil's plan, and he knows it. It's a system. You know, I mean, it really is when you think about it. That's the great thing when you get out of your comfort zone, you're able to go and visit a missionary, you're out of your routine, but, you know, there's some time to be still and know that God is God. Amen? And that's the great thing about it. Matthew chapter 11. God is a God of rest. Matthew chapter 11, look at verse 28. We know the verses. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what God's desire is tonight? Look at 29. That you would learn of him. Learn. One of the other aspects that I spoke to the men in Paraguay about was that a husband has a responsibility in the marriage to learn. And we know the principle of first mention in this church. You know why? Because we've been eating filet mignon for how many years you've been sitting there. The first day you came to this church, you know what you got served? Filet mignon. And every day you come, you know what you eat? Filet mignon. And that's the truth. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Turn there. The first mention of learn in the Bible. This is how we learn. This is how I learn about my great shepherd. This is how I find that rest. This is how I know that he can lead me beside those still waters. Deuteronomy chapter 4. This is real profound, folks, so get ready. Deuteronomy 4. This is not, for you Bible scholars, yes, in the book of Genesis, you will find the past tense of the word learn. But the present tense form of the word learn first appears in Deuteronomy chapter 4. So that was my disclaimer for all you Bible theologians who are going to pull me at the end of the way. Hey, brother, you know, you said that the first... All right, we're good now, right? Deuteronomy chapter 4. But that's good, though. Listen, don't ever take anybody's word about anything, me included. Check it out for yourself. See if those things are so, amen? That's something that that I was taught in this church, amen? Deuteronomy chapter 4. Only take heed, verse 9, to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. 10. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words. And what was the purpose? Look, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. This was a gathering around the word of God. And what was the purpose of it? So they might learn to fear who God was and teach their children who God is. Amen? And God wants us to learn who he is. And you know how we learn? By just shutting our mouths and listening. God gave us two ears and one mouth, huh? Amen? For a reason. Just to be still. Listen. Find out who you got. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Amen? See, this is familiar stuff, but this is where the devil trips a lot of us up. In the familiar, basic, everyday things of God. Amen? Excuse me, grab a tissue. See, God's not going to attack your dispensationalism or your deep doctrine. He's going to trip you up in the simplicity that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is. That's why a lot of Christians today are not happy. They don't have any joy. They don't have any song. They don't have any peace because of these simple things. You sit down with a Christian that's complaining and not satisfied and glass is always half empty, and I guarantee you, you could ask him some basic question. When was the last time you got along with your God? When was the last time you just read your Bible? When was the last time you just simply prayed? I mean, it's simple stuff, folks. It's not really deep. You don't take my word for it. Pastor does the counseling. He'll tell you. Thank God I don't do my counseling. You know why my counseling? My counseling would be confined to this box right here. This would be my counseling. Go wipe your nose. God is a big God. He can take care of you. Amen. Sorry, I had to do that, Pastor. Hey, we serve a big God, amen. Hey, listen, the same God that caused Mike Wilkes to pack up and leave his house half finished on the water of Florida is the same God that I serve. It's the same God, amen. He's the same God that saved you and me, amen. God is no respecter of persons. That's what the Bible says. Boy, it is quiet in here. Woo-hoo! And you know what Paul says in Philippians 4:11? I'm glad you asked. Not that I speak in respect of want, but I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Amen. There is contentment when the Lord is my shepherd. You can say, I shall not want. The fruit of the Lord being your shepherd is, I shall not want. Amen. And that's what it is. Back to Psalms 23. I keep moving. I should have got some of Pastor's jokes. Keep you guys awake tonight. Yeah, Pastor came to Paraguay with his full basket of fruit, and we were able to get out of the country. That was a miracle. And if those of you at the marriage seminar know what I'm talking about, he unloaded the full basket of fruit. We had ourselves a time. We did. Amen. I don't know if we can go back, but nah, I'm only kidding. We had a great time. You know, when you get to a point with your God that he's your shepherd, it doesn't mean that God's saying that everything is going to be smooth sailing. You know, I mean, it says, I know God is able to make things smooth. Psalms 107, verse 29 says, He maketh the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. But you know what? You get to a point where God, where it doesn't matter what's going on around you, right? I mean, there's some brothers and sisters that are fighting some really life trials. And especially when you go to these mission fields, you know, materially, nothing. But you know what? They truly are satisfied with Jesus. He is all they need. And there's a song and sweetness about what they have. It puts us to shame, you know, here. Because that's all they have. And then you know what? You know what? Jesus is all we need. Amen? All this other stuff just seems to cloud it at times. It says here in Psalms 23, verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. He restoreth my soul. You know, the word restore means to put or bring back into a former or original state, to repair or to renew. And you know what? When you abide in the Lord, right? John chapter 15, He's the vine, we're the branches. Read that. That's a great chapter. But you know what? When you have the Lord, when you truly are abiding, when you are letting the good shepherd, the Lord your shepherd, lead you to that state of I shall not want, there is just a peace there. And there's a restoration of your soul. And you know what? You need to be restored.
Amen.
You know that? We need restoration. Because this life that we live beats us up daily. And we need replenishment. We need restorations, folks. We really do. And God is able to do that. Psalms 51:12 says, Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen. And then the result of that restoration, look at the rest of the verse. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We know it, Proverbs 3, 5, 6, right? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. We need our paths to be directed. Amen? And you know what? Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're saying, you know what? This is all rudimentary. I've got all this stuff down. I'm a prayer warrior. I'm faithful. Well, can I tell you something tonight? That's really good. But you know what? You got nothing because it ain't yours. How about that? You see, because He does it all, the verse says, for His name's sake, that He gets the glory. Amen? So if you're faithful tonight, you know what? It's not your faith that keeps you. It's His faith. The Bible says it's Christ which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So if you got all your I's dotted and your T's crossed, He gets the glory. Because your natural man moves away from God. You just have enough spiritual common sense tonight to realize that the Lord is your shepherd. And now you can say, I shall not want. Amen? So even when you've arrived spiritually in this thing, you've not arrived. You're just realizing that He is working through you. Amen? He gets all the glory, folks. I don't care how long you've been in this church. I don't care if you're a deacon, head deacon. It doesn't matter. All the glory goes to the Lord Jesus Christ because He's the one that's doing the work. Amen? And that's the way it's set up. It says it in that verse, for His name's sake. His name's sake. You know, it says in Colossians, right, too, that in Christ dwell the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and of all of His fullness have all we received in John 1:16, and grace for grace. It's all Him, folks. We can't take credit for nothing. Nothing at all. It's amazing. You know what? The fact that you believe tonight is a miracle of the grace of God. You ever think about that? Why do you believe in somebody else? Why? You ever stand with your open Bible to somebody and try to show them the truth of that word and it's like Greek to them? They just don't get it? It's so plain to you. You read it and the Spirit reads back to you and it bears witness. Yet you speak to a lost soul and you show them John 1:1. Speak to a Jehovah's Witness about John 1:1. Boy, if you've never been frustrated, you'll be frustrated. Right? Because you know what? God has to breathe life into the words. It's His Spirit. You know, it's not your understanding. It's not your ability. It's not your intellect. It's all Him. Amen? You know what? I read, if you look at this Psalms, the first three verses, David is talking about his God. He's boasting. He's saying here, the Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path. But then look at the transition in verse 4. He's talking now in verse 4. He says, thou art with me. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. There's a transition that occurs. You know what? Basically, David is boasting on his God. You know what? When you talk about God, you know what it should cause you to do? It should cause you to fall on your face and pray to your God. And that's what David is doing here. He starts talking about he, his God, his shepherd. And then he starts personalizing. Thou, Lord, thou hast prepared. Thou hast anointed. Amen? See, when we speak about God, it should lead us to pray about God. Amen? When you study the Word of God, it should have you fall on your face and worship your God. You know, we get the things backwards sometimes in Christianity. This psalm starts out with rest, right? It starts out with, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down. He leadeth me beside still waters. He's restoring his soul in verse 3. But you know what? The purpose of my relationship with God is that he's going to guarantee me green pastures, or he's going to guarantee me still waters. That's not, no. It's about relationship. Because in verse 4, he's talking about walking through a valley of the shadow of death. Right? So there's a transition going on here. You know what this Psalms is about, folks? It's about a relationship. And you know, we have to be careful in our Christianity not to get too busy worrying about programs and this and that. You know what God wants from us tonight? He wants us to worship him. He wants us just to be at his feet. Right? That Mary and Martha syndrome. But one of them chose that good thing. And that's where we got to start with God. We got to start at his feet. And then when he restores your soul, now you're ready to work. But we get the thing backwards where we're working and working and working and we get all burnt out. And then what happens? Then we want to rest. Nah. Start with God. Get your soul restored. Your energy, your batteries charged. And then if there's work to do, you're ready to do it. Amen? We get the things backwards sometimes. Look at verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know what? John 16:33 says, these things have I spoken unto you that believe that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know, this world will beat you up. But if the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. Amen? God says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen? He's provided it all. If we're living defeated, it's our fault. It's not his. You know, the Bible says that perfect love casteth out all fear. Does God love you perfectly tonight? Perfect love. Amen? Perfect love. Look at John chapter 17 real quick. It's kind of neat when we're in paragraph. You know, charity is good. Pastor and I were looking at this verse. Charity is good. Not the verse I'm telling you to go to. But charity only covers a multitude of sin. But you know what love covers? Love covers all sin. You can keep your charity. I'll take the love. Amen? Love covereth all sin, folks. That's good. John chapter 17. Look at John chapter 17 here. Look at verse, and I'm almost done. And now, O Father, verse 5, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Look at 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is praying to the Father that his glory would be restored, that eternal glory that he had. In eternity past. And in 22, he's asking the Father, the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Why? That they may be one even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me, loved them as thou hast loved me. Woo! I mean, that is amazing. You know what, truly, if we were honest tonight, we can't comprehend that. That's way too deep for my feeble brain. That Jesus would like it to put in me the glory The same glory that he had out in eternity. I can't comprehend that, folks. I don't know about you. But that's who lives in me. That's who lives in you tonight. So we're without excuse. Amen? Listen, what does the Bible says? I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? You lay your lives down as a living sacrifice. Right? Holy and acceptable unto God. Why? Because it is a reasonable service. See, we in America, when we talk about people like Mike Wilps, when we think about missionaries, we think there's some kind of superheroes of the faith that did some crazy radical thing. And you know what the truth of the matter is? They did what was their reasonable service. And that provokes me. To whom much is given, much is required. And I'll give an account. I've been given a lot. Woo! Man, I could give you a list. I'll keep you here till tomorrow, till the sun comes up, if I start counting my blessings. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And you know what? If you're honest with God tonight, as you sit here and live and breathe, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, your eternity secured, redeemed by the Lamb, you've been given a lot too. And we'll all give an account. Individually, collectively, you've been getting a lot. So, pray for me. Pray for my family. Because I want to be radical for Jesus. Because you know what? Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon. You know, they asked the commissioner of baseball why he let Jackie Robinson play back in 1947. Why did you allow this black man play in the then segregated Major League Baseball? And his response was, well, because when I thought about standing before my Maker one day, I couldn't think of a good reason to tell him why I wouldn't. Right? And that's profound. But you know what? There's a lot of truth in that. And you know what? I'm going to meet my rank. I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day, the one who's purchased my soul, the one who's taken my sins and removed them as far as the east is from the west. And you know what? I'm going to give an account. Me. What am I going to say? Well, Lord, you know that mortgage was so much a month and there were so many hours in the day and yada, 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 yada. I don't know. I'll be without excuse, folks. Well, God is a great God. He's a good shepherd. And if you read out the rest of this small Psalms to great Psalms, I'm sure you all know it by heart. Let's read it and we'll close. Last few verses here. Says thou, verse 5, that preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know what? Verse 5 is communion. There's nothing more intimate than gathering around a table, enjoying a meal, right? I mean, I if you ever get together with brothers and sisters outside the church just around a table, there's something different about that, right? And that's the kind of intimacy that God wants with us. He wants that familiar around the table setting. You know what I'm saying? It's all about Him, folks. It's not about how many Sundays you sit in your chair. You know, it's about worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. If you keep Jesus first, everything else will take care of itself. You won't be offended because this one said hello and this one didn't say hello. This one looked at me this way. No, you put Him first. He won't disappoint you. He won't offend you. I guarantee you put Jesus first and then nothing else matters. Nothing at all. You won't get mad because Pastor said something and he was really speaking about me, even though he didn't look at me. It won't matter, folks. It'll all be about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Listen, I've been at this thing long enough to know. You know what the worst thing about Christianity is? Christians. We, right? It's the truth, man. We want to shoot each other in the foot when we're down. No, it shouldn't be that way. We should love one another. Love covereth all sin. And that's how God deals with us. God doesn't shoot us when we're down, right? We're not perfect. We mess up. You stay around here long enough, you'll be offended. You'll catch a mistake. You know what? So what? Get over it and move forward. You know what I'm saying? Let's encourage one another to keep pressing towards the mark of the high calling, because it is a high calling. You know, to be called a child of God, to have the privilege to speak the name of Jesus Christ to someone, that's a privilege. That name is above every name. That's a precious name. And every time you get an opportunity to speak that name, speak it proudly, but speak it with love and compassion in your heart. You know? I mean, that's what it's all about. That's why we're here. You know? To just keep pressing, to provoke one another unto love and to good works. Amen? And I hope, listen, let the Lord be your shepherd. Because then you'll be in a state of, you won't want anything. And I'm not talking prosperity. I'm talking just a spiritual contentment. You know? And he's worthy. He's worthy of our time. He's worthy of our thoughts. He's worthy of our praise, our adoration. He's worthy of it all. We don't have nothing that has not been given to us by a loving Father. Every good and precious gift cometh down from above. Amen? We are blessed people. We are really, you know what? I'm a blessed person. My blessings go beyond this finite mind to comprehend. That's the truth, you know? And it's just a privilege to be saved. It's a privilege to be able to worship the Lord Jesus Christ with you here. It's a privilege just to be in the body of Christ. And I think we're checking out real soon, man. Real soon. What a checking. And I like what was said. I don't know if you said it, Margaret or Denise, but it's true. When we get to heaven, it won't matter what language you spoke on earth. Do you know what? That spirit that lives within us, man, is greater than the spirit of the word. That's what binds us together, you know? And I remember at the end of the services, the girls, they look like a bunch of rock stars at the end of the services. They were swarmed by these ladies. Matter of fact, there was one evening where this dear sister literally had Margaret's face in the cup of her hands. And she's rattling on, and I move over. And you know what she was telling Margaret? I love you from my heart, sister. That's what she was telling her. And she meant it. She had like, you know, that's real, folks. But you know what? As great and as stirring that was, you know there's a God in heaven that loves me greater than my mother. I have a great mother. Matter of fact, I have the best mother that ever walked the face of the earth. If you don't believe that, you keep it to yourself. She's the best. I have a great father, great parents. But you know what? The love that they have for me doesn't even come close to the love that the Lord Jesus Christ has for me. And that's the truth, folks. He is unbelievable. He gave up everything for us. We talk about missionary. Right? He gave up the eternal glory that he had with the Father to come and walk this sinful cursed earth and become sin for me that knew no sin. That's amazing to me. Right? He left his riches and became poor that I might be rich. And I'm rich tonight. Amen? So I hope it was a blessing. It was a blessing as I looked over to it. Praise the Lord.